He prayed when he was transfigured, Luke 9. He prayed before teaching his disciples to pray in Luke 11. He prayed before raising Lazarus from the dead in John 11. He prayed when his soul was troubled in John 12. He prayed when he was about to leave his disciples in John 17. He prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane in Matthew 26. He prayed on the cross for his persecutors in Luke 23. And he prayed on the cross as he dismissed his spirit in Luke 23. So if God did that much praying, being the Son of God, why shouldn't we pray? Why shouldn't we talk to God? We're children of God as well. Not the same aspect as he's the Holy Son of God, but we are his children. We should be talking to God, trying to learn more about him. We're not perfect, and Jesus Christ was. So we as children of God need to be talking to our Heavenly Father, trying to build that relationship with him. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. So to build that relationship with God, as Pastor said this morning, I said it several times to teens in junior church, that our relationship with God consists of us talking to God as well as us being God's Word. John 1 clearly states that that is how we learn from God. That's how God speaks to us by his word. It says in John 1 that the word was God. So we need to be building that relationship, not just by us reading his word or just by praying. We need to be doing both. Pastor, again, said this morning, what is it like if you have a friend that does all the talking, they're the only person that talks, and you're the other person on the other side, and there's no talking going on? And to me, that's not really a great friendship, relationship, whatever you want to call that. There needs to be a two-way communication to build that relationship. So the reasons why we pray is because God tells us to, in Philippians 4. And Jesus prayed, and to build our relationship with Christ. My second point is the wonder of prayer. My life verse is Jeremiah 33:3. It says, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great mighty things, which thou knowest not. Prayer is so neat, how we can just call to God in any circumstance, anytime we need him, we can call out to him. So that's why I think that's my life verse. Ephesians 3:20 says, he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think.
Right.
So real quick, I think I already told this. I don't know if everyone was here for it, but I'm going to tell it again, my testimony of how I got this internship. So to kind of shorten it down some, there was a chapel message. My pastor adjourned while I was in school. We had chapel messages Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Pastor LeJourn was preaching on prayer, and I remember all the different points. It's not the same that he gave here, but he was talking about how we need to have a relationship with Christ through prayer, how every one of us can build our relationship more and more. There's never a time when we stop growing through that relationship, and the message really spoke to me about how I need to be praying my prayer life. It's still something that every one of us should be working on, trying to build a closer relationship with Christ. And so that night I went to my room and went to my dorm room and I got a piece of paper and wrote down all the things that the Lord laid on my heart that I should be praying for. There's a lot of things you can be praying for once you start writing it down. I found that out. But one of the things was for the summer, I needed a job so I could go back to school. I also wanted an opportunity to serve in ministry. Somehow I was just in my mind thinking, oh, my church, I can help in a Sunday school class, something like that, or whatever it was. Figure out a pastoral major, and I need to be working in ministry somehow. So I prayed about it for a day, and so I prayed about it that night, went to classes the next day, I worked at the school for cleaning, and Dr. Brown, one of my teachers, was down there putting a piece of paper up on the bulletin board in one of the classrooms, and I went down there to clean, and I'm like, oh, I'll look at it later, I'm working right now, I'll come back. So I saw the phone right, I'm like, wait a minute, Pastor Jeremy, I knew that name. And it was New Jersey. I wonder if it's through different, I kind of knew of Pastor Rice. I wonder if it's the same one, if it could be like another Pastor Rice somewhere. So I later on went back down, got the phone number, called my sister, talked to my sister a little bit, because she was here in 2012. And she's like, yeah, that's Pastor Rice. And so I'm like, no way, that's so cool. So I called Pastor Rice that night, and I talked to him, told him my situation, and didn't say I was going to do it. I needed to pray about it. So I talked to my parents, prayed about it some, and within 2 days I had an internship set up. So that was so neat. And then the verse I just shared, Ephesians 3:20, is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. I found that for a class I was teaching that Sunday. I was somehow preaching, teaching on prayer that week. And I found that verse, and I was able to claim that for that testimony, because he was able to do exceedingly abundantly above what I was asking or thinking. I wasn't thinking of internship, saying opportunity to serve somehow and a job. So prayer does work, and that's something I've been able to claim as a testimony for myself with prayer. So I really enjoy those two verses, Jeremiah 33:3 and Ephesians 3:20. Another time, another thing about that's so wonderful about prayer, we can pray at any time and in any place. A lot of people, whether they're Catholic, a lot of Catholics, they believe that, oh, it has to be in a church or it has to be to a person. That's not true. The Bible clearly states that we can pray at any time and in any place. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, let me go over here real quick. Verse 16 says, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God and Christ Jesus concerning you. So verse 17 is the one I'm looking at, pray without ceasing. If we were to pray without ceasing, does that mean we have to be in church our entire life? No. The Bible says pray without ceasing. We can be praying at any time. I was talking to a pastor, another pastor from New Jersey about 2 years ago, and I was working at a greenhouse at that time, and we were just talking about how we should be praying, and he's like, you know, what's the different things you do? I'm like, pull a lot of weeds. He's like, you know what? He's like, while you're pulling weeds, he's like, you know, I was by myself. And he's like, while you're pulling weeds, pray. He's like, it's a quiet time when you're by yourself. You don't have to be closing your eyes while you pray. You can pray and work at the same time. And so that was something neat that he shared with me. This, we can pray at any time. Pray without ceasing. Another verse, Psalms 55. It's David, whenever he wrote the psalm, says, Psalms 55, verse 16 and 17 says, as for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning, and at noon while I pray, cry aloud, and you shall hear my voice. So this is David talking about how he, about his prayer life. And he's saying in verse 17, evening and morning, at noon, while I pray, and cry aloud, and you shall hear my voice. We can talk to God at any time. The God that David served, the same God we serve, and he was able to talk to him morning, evening, and noontime. We can do that as well. My next point is the power of prayer. This is kind of a short point. We go to Romans chapter 8. 8 verse 31 says, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? So what Paul is saying here, he said, God gave his own son for us to die for our sins, to take our place so we can go to hell. If God did that for us, why wouldn't he want to give us something else? He gave the most important thing to us. Why wouldn't he give us anything that's underneath that? So again, verse 32, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? So a couple of examples of how prayer and God's power could be Elijah. Whenever Elijah prayed for there to be no rain, it didn't rain for 3 years. God controls the weather. God is so powerful. He created the weather. He can control it. And he did it for 3 years. He stopped the rain for Elijah. When Elijah prayed again for the rain to start, it started. And it wasn't some small thing. It was a small cloud, but the rain that came out of that was great. Then also Mount Carmel with Elijah whenever he was on the mount with the Baal worshippers, and how they were trying to serve their god Baal, and they're trying to have their god that was false bring down fire, and their god could do it for hours and hours. And Elijah, all he had to do was cry out to God once, and he talked to him, and God sent down fire through his power. Right. Another thing we can see through God's power is creation. We look at it's Psalms 14, I don't remember what Psalm exactly it is. It talks about the wonder of God's creation God created that. He gave us all that. Anything that is in His will. We'll look at that in a few minutes. God's will. Another thing I wanted to point out. I'm not sure if I'm supposed to do this now. I think my notes are messed up, but I'm going to do it anyway. A lot of times, Christians, we're freedom of religions. You can do what you want as far as religions. And we as Christians, we're supposed to be praying and reading God's word and meeting in church. Other countries are not that way. They don't have that. We can look at Daniel chapter 6 and how the decree was made from Darius that no one was to pray or serve any other god except King Darius for 30 days. And the way that was set up by other rulers and tricked King Darius into doing that. But if you look at those verses, Daniel, clearly states that Daniel knew that law was made. But he still kept his windows open and prayed three times a day, as he did a fourth time. He still went and did what he should have, even though he knew that he was going to be thrown in the lion's den for it. I've been here with Pastor Rice, whenever he gets letters from, I forget what it's called, the martyr things. Voice of the Martyrs. And the one I saw the other night with them was a piece of paper with a picture of, I don't know how many people, probably 20, 30 people walking into the river to get baptized. And bottom said, I think they were from Korea or Vietnam, one of those, they could be persecuted for doing that. Yet they still were following God and doing what God wanted them to do. So back to what I was saying about Daniel. If he was praying under persecution, he knew he was going to be thrown in the lion's den to do it. And he was risking his life to talk to God and pray to God. Why do we, as Americans in America, who have the freedom to do that, why don't we have a close relationship with God? Why can't we tell more people about Him? My last point, this is a little bit longer of a point. We looked at why we pray. It's because God tells us to. Jesus was an example, and He prayed as well. To build a relationship with God, the wonder of prayer, how we can call out to God at any time, in any place, the power of prayer and of God, how He gave us His Son, and gave us His Son in Romans 8:31-32 says he can give us anything else. And then for how to pray, 1 Thessalonians 5:16, we're going to kind of repeat a couple of verses that we already did. 5:16 says, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Verse 18 says, in everything give thanks. We're supposed to be thankful for what God has done for us. We shouldn't just be praying for ourselves or praying for others or just what we need at that moment. That's not a great relationship, I don't think. But we need to be thankful for what Christ has done for us. We're talking in junior church a few weeks ago and in teen class about Joshua and Joshua 24, of how for Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He saw how wicked everyone was being around him, and he was one of the very few that was standing after the Lord. But before he gave his reason why he was standing for the Lord, he went through a bunch of verses saying of what God had done for him and for the Israelites, how God had parted the Red Sea, how He delivered them out of the hands of verses long of all the different countries that tried to overtake Israel, all the different things that God had done to bless the nation of Israel. Joshua went through and said why he was going to stand up and serve the Lord. So one of the things that we should have at the very top of our list, why we should be thankful for the Lord, is for our salvation. That's just one thing. If you sit down and write all the things down that God has done for us, we sing the song Count Your Blessings, a lot of things God has done for us, we should be thankful for it. So we should be thankful. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, we did just read that. Do I need to do something with that? Okay. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Sorry, man. It's been a while since I just read it. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. We're going to request things from God. We should be thankful. With prayers and supplication, with thanksgiving, your requests made known unto God. So we should be thankful for what God has done for us. Next verse, we should be thankful in hard times. Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for good to them that love God. God puts certain circumstances in our life to help grow us and show us what possibly our next step in our life should be. You go to the book of James, chapter 1, and it says there, in verse 2 and 3, my brethren,
I'll show you what he calls the darkest temptation. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith will be patience. So we should be thankful. We talked about this beginning of my internship. All these verses,
how we should be thankful for the different trials or temptations that God puts in our life so that we can grow through those. God
gives us opportunities
to grow through the
circumstances he brings in our life.
So we should be thankful
for those.
And then 1 Corinthians, another thing we should do for our prayer, how to pray, we should be thankful, first of all. We should also ask forgiveness for the things that we have in our life, the sins that we have in our life. Luke 11 is Jesus' example prayer for us. In Luke chapter 11, and it says in verse 4, Jesus is saying his prayer, and then it says pretty close to the beginning, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptations, but deliver us from evil. So God was not asking forgiveness for the sins that he personally did. It was an example prayer. We should be asking forgiveness and keeping short accounts of our sin before we go and make all these requests of God. We need to make sure that we have cleared ourselves from our sins. The third thing we should be praying for is others. James chapter 5. James chapter 5 says, verse 13, is anyone afflicted? Let him pray. Is any married? Let him sing songs. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that you may be healed. Effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So we should be praying for others. I don't know about you, but I know a lot of some people that I could be praying for their physical needs. We should be praying for people for their physical needs. There's people with health issues. There's people with maybe financial issues. You don't know all the different problems, but you know that someone needs prayer. We should be praying for them. You know something isn't right. Pray for them. So physical prayers, physical needs, we can pray for them. Paul, in the end of some of his epistles, he writes about, from prison or wherever he's at, about others that have physical needs and asks others to pray for them. Now, these people never met. They may never have met these people Paul was talking about. We get missionary letters, and you support missionaries. You hear of other people that need prayer. You may not know them, but you know that's a great thing about prayer. You don't have to know the person, God does. So we need to be praying for others. James 5:16 says, confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The first part of that verse says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another. So if we know that someone has a spiritual need, we also need to be praying for that. And whenever we get a spiritual need, it's not, oh, I have a prayer request, let's go tell everybody so they can pray. We need to make sure that we're going and praying for the person. If they come to you about spiritual needs in their life, something that they're struggling with, like, and sin, whatever it is, we need to pray for them. The Bible says in verse 16, confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that you may be healed. So we need to be praying for others with physical needs and spiritual needs. The last thing we need to be praying for after others, we need to be praying for ourselves. We can pray for ourselves. James 1:5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. He wants to help us with different problems, but he's not going to always just be like, oh, here you go, I'm going to give you what you want right now. We need to be trying to talk to God and have that relationship with him where we want to talk to him and ask for help. God says if we need wisdom, we have a situation we're trying, we can't figure out, we're trying to think about, we're searching the scriptures of spiritual answer to something, a decision in our life, we can go to God about it. He tells us to go to Him about it. James 4:2 says, "You lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain, ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts." So these verses are talking about how we can try the world's way. We can keep trying to get things that we need. We can, the Bible says in verse 2, "You lust and ye have not, ye kill and ye desire to have, cannot obtain, ye fight and war, yet have ye not, because ye ask not." We can try any way we want. We can try the world once, take their way of trying to get things that we need. But you know what? We're never going to be satisfied with that. We need to talk to God about it, pray to Him. It may not be His will for you to have what you're asking for. If you look back at the example prayer, the first part of His prayer is talking about if it's in God's will. We can't just think, it would be nice to have like a nice muscle car or something, whatever, nice fancy new car. And you can pray, "Oh, I want that." And you can't just think, "Oh, I'm going to get that now. I said a prayer." That's not the way it works. The Bible says, in God's will. So that's what James 2:3 says. But it says you can keep trying in the world's way. You can try it that way, but it's not going to work. You're not going to be satisfied. You have to go to God about it and ask Him if that's His will. And then Matthew 18:20, real quick. Almost done. It says, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." We should have a prayer group time or find someone else, maybe another family member, where we can sit down and pray with them. Bibles through different areas of it says how we can have prayer groups, and God is with those prayer groups and is going to help in different situations that you may have. And then Jeremiah 29:11-13 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search me with all your heart." So God knows what's best for us. That's why we're supposed to pray for God's will. God knows what's best for us. Verse 12 says, verse 11, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you." God hears our prayers. And verse 13 says, "And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart." If we want God's help, we need to be searching for Him with our whole heart. We can't just, whenever we have a difficulty, "Oh, I'm going to go pray about that." Or whenever I'm in a hard time, I'm going to go pray about that. We should be praying to God at all times about anything, whether we're in difficulty or we're praising God for something He's done for us. "And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart." We need to be searching for God with all our hearts to have Him answer us. James 1:6-8, those are my last verses, a few verses here. It talks about, I'm just going to paraphrase it real quick, because we've already talked about it before. It's talking about how if we're searching for God only whenever we have a difficulty or a hard time, but not other times in our life, it compares us to waves of the sea and how we're going back and forth in our decision. "Oh, I want God right now because I have this trouble." But then after that trouble goes away, "Oh, I'm going to go the world's way. I'm going to go my way, how I want to." Then another trial comes up and you go back to God. And it goes back and forth. It's a cycle. And God compares that in the Bible as a wave of the sea being tossed back and forth, not being sure if you really want God or not to help you and be with you throughout your life. So we need to make sure we're trying to grow closer to God through our lives. Another thing, I don't remember who I was talking about before, but I thought of it several times. We have someone to go to whenever we have a problem as Christians. We have someone we can talk to in different difficulties and situations. So how do people that don't have Christ, how do they, who do they go to? What do they go to? I don't know. I've never been in that, I had to get saved, obviously. But I've never been in that situation where I've had this huge struggle in my life, but I had nowhere to go with it. You can always go to God with it. I was always told to put salvation in each of my messages, so I'm going to just go through Romans road real quick. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Every one of us is a sinner, and we can't get to God because God is perfect. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Our wage, our earning for our sin, what we deserve for that is hell. The wages of sin is death. But the second part of that verse is wonderful. "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Romans 5:8 says, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." So because of our sin, we can't get to God because he's perfect. There's a boundary between us. And because we can't get to God, the only other place is hell, Bible clearly states. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He wants to take the place for us, for our sin, and he's already done that. We just have to accept that. Romans 10:9 says, "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." Amen. It's very simple to be able to get to heaven. Just believe you're a sinner, believe Jesus Christ died on the cross for yours and my sins, that he's already taken that place for us, but we have to accept that spiritual gift that he has already given us. So that's what I have. So let's pray real quick. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day and the opportunity we have to be in your house again. Thank you for helping me as I spoke. Please help me to have been clear and understandable. Please help anyone here that needs to grow closer to you, including myself, through prayer life or devotion life, to do that. And anyone here that does not know you as a personal Savior, to get that solid name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Let's turn back in our majesty hymnal tonight to think on these tremendous truths about prayer, of giving our heart to the Lord in prayer each and every day, spending time adoring him, spending time confessing our sins, spending time thanking him for answered prayers, spending time asking him for many things. It's such an important part of our Christian life. And let us go in our Majesty Hymn Book tonight, and let us sing "Cast Me Not, O Gentle Savior," 320 tonight, as we sing the song, hymn of pleading to God, asking him to stay close to us as we go through life. We ask Brother Tobias to come down to the front there and stand by the front. If you want counsel from the Word of God, or maybe you want to just come and say, "Hey, can you pray for me?" Come and take Brother Tobias by the hand, and he'll pray for you. Right up front here on the row, or if you want to come and kneel at the altar, would you come? Let's all stand together. 320.
"Cast me not, O gentle Savior,
second as a prayer to God.
Love me at the